35, no prospects on the horizon. And I don't know about you, but at the church that I went to, they always had this thing where they would honor the mothers on Mother's Day. The oldest mother, the mother with the most children, the youngest mother, then all the mothers, and then all the women, because you're mothers too. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. But when you're 25, 30, 35, and your strongest desire is to have children, it just felt very patronizing to me. So time passed on, and they're going to show a picture. That's me on my first Mother's Day. Not everybody knew it was my first Mother's Day because we were expecting our little boy. If you can look at the picture, you see the biggest smile because I had all these expectations of the mother I was going to be. Most Mother's Day sermons revolve around Proverbs 31 and how awesome mothers are and how they take care of their children and they wear purple and or they clothe their children and they all this good stuff. That's what I was going to be. I was going to be that Pinterest mom. I was going to have the monogrammed little outfits, and I was going to grow a garden with organic food, and I was going to put it up in glass jars because, you know, they're BPA free and all that stuff that I was going to be. Still didn't like Mother's Day because I could not reach that level of perfection. So today I want to share with you about some mothers in the Bible that I believe we can kind of relate to a little more. I'm going to start in Exodus 1. I don't know if they're going to display the Bible app or not, but if they do, you can go to the Bible app and download that and click on all those things. And you can find it. If you have enough ability to find the Bible app, you can find the way to get it. But while you're finding that, we're going to be in Exodus 1. I want to show you the definition of a mother. What do you think the definition of a mother is? Are you thinking I'm going to say the person who gives birth, the person who just wears the title? To me, a mother is one who brings up a child with care and affection. That's the definition that I found for being a mother. And with this definition, you don't have to have the title of being a mother to mother. I've seen in this church, I've seen men mother. I've seen men mother my child because you're trying to put chairs out and my little three-year-old's going all around you and you don't kick them to the curb. You're kind and patient. You're mother and my child. Other women, my aunts, my sister, they've been mothers to me, especially after I've lost my mom. But today I'm going to share with you some feelings that mothers have. I think all mothers feel overwhelmed. We like to pretend like we don't, but I think every single one does. So Exodus 1, 15 through 22. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They're vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave the order to all his people. "Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live." So we're in a time here, back in Exodus, where the Hebrew people were being slaves, and they told the midwives to kill baby boys. "I have a son, that hurts." Well, the midwives didn't do it, so they said, "Whoever you are, if it's a boy, you kill it." Can you imagine living in that time? We tend to sterilize Bible people. We call them Bible characters. But they still had those same feelings. If you ask a person who's had multiple miscarriages, that fourth one hurts just as much as that first. It doesn't matter that lots of people died during that time, that every male child was being killed. That still hurt that mother. And I cannot imagine how overwhelming that must be. Do you pray for a girl? But what if it's a boy? How am I going to do this? Do I have to kill? Can you imagine the overwhelming feeling that you must have been feeling? Now, we are not in a situation that's that dire. Nobody's telling us to go kill our children, thankfully. But I think we all are pretty much living in an overwhelming time. I was reading about some people taking the baby formula instead of milk. I cannot imagine having a little baby and not knowing if I could get formula. I mean, we had to rely on formula. It's scary. I cannot imagine that overwhelming fear that a new mom must have. I was scared for my child. He's a picky eater. And I was like, are we going to be able to get bologna and chicken nuggets? So I can't imagine formula. Maybe that's not even the case. Even baby shower supplies that you were kind of anticipating. Or what if you're not in that season of life? A job, your mental health, sickness, family difficulties. There's so many things that we live in an overwhelming society. As mothers, we all feel overwhelmed, but there's something else that we all feel. That's guilt. In Exodus 2, 1 through 4, it says, now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds among the banks of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Can you imagine the guilt you must feel placing your 3-month-old baby in a basket? The Nile is not, we have these nice little pictures of the Nile. It's nice, it's calm. From what I understand, it was pretty rocky, which is why she put him in the reeds. I mean, animals, all this stuff, and I felt bad going to daycare. Leaving my kid at daycare with wonderful people, that was hard enough. I cannot imagine having to leave my baby in a basket alone, knowing he was going to be crying, knowing he was going to be hungry, knowing he might get eaten by a crocodile. That must have been weighing on her so much. Now, she may have planned on going back to feed him, but who knows? She didn't know what was going to happen. I know I feel guilty about a lot of things. There's a thing called mom guilt. Ever heard of it? You take your child to daycare? Well, I would never take my child to daycare because I just love my child too much. Well, if you don't take your child to daycare, he's not going to get socialized. Well, he'll get sick. Well, he won't build up his immunity. Well, you didn't give him organic food. You don't care. You don't. There's nothing that you can do as a mom that makes everybody happy, and you always feel guilty about it. And that's just par for the course. My big thing is not taking enough care of myself. I feel so guilty when I don't do something because I'm like, I'm not showing him good habits. But you know, thankfully there was another mother watching out for Moses. That was his sister. Not a mother by definition, but she was helping bring that child up with care and affection because she was watching out to see what could happen. And I know I'm so thankful for the people that have stood in the gap for me, that they've watched out for me when my mom could not. There are people here in this church that have carried me through her loss. There are people that comfort me. There's a lot of people that don't have the title of mother that are mothers. So I'm going to share one more thing. We know that mothers feel overwhelming experiences. We are overwhelmed. We have guilt, but there's one thing that we must do, and that is trust. And that doesn't mean that it's easy. Just because you trust doesn't mean it's happy, happy, joy, joy. She might have trusted putting that baby in that basket, but that was definitely not an easy task for her. But we go on to Exodus 2, 5 through 10. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I'll pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. One thing I'd never noticed with this passage is that she sent a female servant. I wonder if she had sent a male servant, would he have, back in that culture, male baby, eliminated. But this female servant felt sorry for him, So kind of she was mother number three. But we also have Pharaoh's daughter. She took compassion on him. This poor kid's crying. So mother's sister goes and gets mom. And mom got to raise him for 18 to months to 5 years, is what I read. I don't know how old it is. I'm not a Bible scholar. But she got some time to kind of put those seeds in of the Hebrew culture. And she got to spend time with him. And I wonder if Pharaoh's daughter was here and close enough for a basket to be found. Did she get to see Moses running around as he got older? Was it still, hey, I remember you? But she had that encouragement to trust, but then she had to go give him to Pharaoh's daughter. How hard must that be? There's one thing that I totally respect, and that is a mother who is able to hand her child over for adoption. You are the bravest people that I know because you care more about that child than you do about your own feelings. If that's you, I commend you as a mother. If you are that mother that takes that child, I commend you as a mother as well, because you are just fulfilling that path of trust, that path of God's will, and I thank you for that. So sometimes our circumstances just seem impossible. Who would have thought that this little Hebrew baby would survive? She had to trust. Wasn't easy, but she did it. Because we don't see the big picture. We see what's right in front of us. We see that cookie, not that it's going to give us a stomach ache. Exodus 3, 7 through 10 says, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." The same little baby that shouldn't have had any chance at life is now going to be the one to rescue the people out of bondage. If Moses' mom had said, okay, I don't have any other choice but to kill this child, or if she had kept trying to hide him, but she trusted, and God made a way to save a whole people. We tend to look at the finite, not the infinite. We look at the circumstances, not the one who controls them. We look at what's in the way, not the way maker. I'm not talking about gender, but God is by definition the ultimate mother. He brings us up with care and affection like nobody else. I get mad. Kid does something, keeps on, keeps on, keeps on, I get mad. God might have anger, but he doesn't react the same way I do. He looks far beyond my temper tantrums to know what his purpose is. There's a truth song that says, "But if he chooses not to move in the way we prayed he would, confident he's working all together for my good, I will stand behind his word, for he is able." He can do more than we can ever imagine. All the circumstances that we're facing right now, it's not unexpected. He knows what's happening, and he's in control of it. So I talked about some of my favorite mothers of the Bible and their places in this story of trust, but wherever you might fall on that mother, if you're a woman without children, if you're a woman with children, if you are a man who mothers and cares and brings up children with affection, no matter where you are, we're probably all feeling pretty overwhelmed and guilty, and all we can really do is trust God in this circumstances. In order to be the most beneficial to those we're called to mother, we have to trust. I'm going to try to sing a song for you. It talks about trusting God. The first few lines are, "Where there is no vision, people perish." I always thought that verse meant literal death. But then I heard somebody say, where we're not looking out, we're not looking at the big picture, we fall away. When things don't go our way, we start pushing aside. Oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. 2020, the year of perfect vision, right? People were like, preachers were preaching vision sermons and all this stuff. And then if you look on the internet, well, it didn't happen. I would argue with that because I think 2020 is the year of perfect vision. But I think what happened is we wanted this new pair of glasses. We wanted to look better. But we kind of wanted that same lens. We just wanted to look better. But God said, nope, I'm giving you LASIKs. I'm going to cut away and I'm going to reshape what you're looking at. I don't know about you guys, but I can tend to focus on how I look. All that Pinterest stuff that I was talking about, that wanting the cute little outfits and the organic stuff and looking like I had it all together, that was important to me. And I still struggle with it. I mean, I don't want to look unkempt, but that's where my focus was. But through 2020 and through all this stuff, it's kind of like, what's really important? Where is my focus? Perfect vision says God, being who God made me to be, is a whole lot more important than what I think I should look like. Maybe God doesn't want me to have that perfect looking house and spotless floors and all that stuff that I thought I had to have. Instead of being overwhelmed with all that stuff that really doesn't matter and feeling guilty over those things I can't change, I'm trying my best to trust God that he's going to make me who he wants me to be and look eternally as opposed to today.
Take me out of this deep, dark night. I don't want to ask again, Lord, why? just see the world with eternal eyes. I don't want to ask again, Lord, why? Just see the world with eternal eyes. I don't want to ask again, Lord, why? Just see the world through your eyes.
All right. Thank you so much, Nikki. And I know that right now as we talk about mothers, and we talk about this thing called Mother's Day, and I can't imagine everything that mothers go through, and we hear stories of mothers, and there are mothers in the room, there are mothers that want to be in the room, but you see, here's the thing about a mother. You see, when God decided to send his son down to this earth to redeem us all, he chose a mother. A mother was the one who cared for that son. A mother was the one who took care of Jesus. A mother was the one who wrapped him in swaddling clothes. A mother was the one who held him when he cried. A mother was the one who was there with him and taught him how to go to the synagogue and brought him away and fled to Egypt at a time when the king was trying to kill him, just as Moses was tried to be killed. Like, a mother was the one that God used to help each and every one of us experience redemption. And so today, wherever you are on the spectrum of following Jesus, wherever you are of not knowing who Jesus is or knowing fully who he is, but maybe in this season you feel like you're distant from him, I want you to look to the people in your life who are like a mother and see that Jesus has worked through them. You know, today I would say the biggest question and the best question I've ever been asked when it comes to a life without Jesus and a life without God is this: living a life without Christ, how is that working out for you? It's just like that sound, like that computer, like how that's working out for you. It can feel like bonk after bonk after bonk after bonk. It can feel like you continue to climb up this ladder to no success. You can try to earn your way up to Pinterest mom. You can try to earn your way up to perfect children and doing everything you can to make everything perfect. And I'm telling you, you can't do it alone. It's a life that would be wasted. And so today, if you find yourself climbing up that ladder, I just want to ask you how that's working out for you. Because you see, God loved us enough that he didn't want us to climb up a ladder. He didn't want us to work our way to him. He made a way to bring himself to us through Christ Jesus. And Jesus came so that we could have life and have it to the full, so that we can experience peace on this earth. That in this season that we're in, whatever this world is throwing at us, just like that mother when you scrape that knee with that bike, and it's just that you just need that little kiss on your knee. You need that hug to get through it. It's amazing what you can go through. Our Heavenly Father wants to wrap his arms around us and love us enough to say, don't hurt my baby. And so today, if you've never given your life to Jesus, this is your opportunity. I want to tell you why we do this each and every week, is so that we can show the love of Christ to you. And I want to help you because someone had to help me. It's not the words of the prayer we're about to pray. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. That when we have Christ Jesus in our life, we don't have to climb up the ladder anymore. We can just receive the free gift of salvation he died on the cross to give us. But you see, the thing is, he didn't just die on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins. He came to this earth to live a perfect, sinless life none of us could ever live. He died on the cross, and then he rose again on the third day so that we could experience heaven on earth now. We could be all that he created us to be now. We don't have to wait. We don't have to go and say, one day I'll eventually be what he created me to be, or one day I'll be enough, or one day I'll have it figured out. I want to tell you, with Christ Jesus, he'll show you one step at a time. And so today, I want to help you with your next step. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you today, I'm going to tell you, we're going to pray out loud as a family. We do this each and every week for the benefit of those who are coming to the faith for the first time. I'm going to ask you to please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve for my sins on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, if you're watching online or if you're here with us and you can respond, you can say for the first time that you've given your life to Jesus, I'm going to count to three and ask you to respond. One, two, three. If that's you right now, you may see a hand raised. You may see a link that says to respond to invitation. If you're watching via Facebook or you're watching or listening by podcast throughout the week, I just want to celebrate with you the decision that you've made. And I want you to know this is just the starting block. It's not the finish line. We've got folks that want to walk with you through this season. Please let us know at prayer@thevine.tv or shoot us a text message or phone call to 864-580-6698. We would love to celebrate this decision with you. And for the rest of us, I'm going to pray, and we're going to continue in worship. Then we'll wrap up this amazing Mother's Day that Jesus is allowing us to celebrate. So, dear Jesus, thank you for this time that we once again get to be here and celebrate mothers. Lord, it's not, we can't take mothers for granted. We can't take mothers lightly. As a matter of fact, we go through moments in our life where we do everything we can to fight the love of a mother. But Jesus, we realize at some point in our life that the love of a mother is the perfect picture of your love for us. So I pray right now for those who have lost their mothers because they've gone on to be in glory with you. Jesus, I pray for those who still have mothers who can't visit them and have to see them through plexiglass or through a window today. I pray for them, Jesus, that they would still just feel that love. And I pray and thank you, Jesus, for each and every one of us that still get to celebrate with our mothers today. In this season more than ever, Jesus, you're reminding us of the important things. So today, maybe we're struggling. Maybe our relationship with our mother isn't that great. Today, Jesus, I pray you would give us the boldness and courage to make that right by trusting you to take that next step. We love you, Jesus. We know that only in you can we see a victory. So I pray right now more than ever as we sing, Jesus, that we would just experience your presence and know that in you we will have victory. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Now stand and sing this out with us.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail.
Yes, lift that up to Him.
Yes, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, oh,
oh. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. I'll lift that up for you.
There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will. I'm not backing down from any giant. I know how this story ends.
Come on.
I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory for the battle.
will take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. Yeah, you turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. Yeah, you turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. Yeah, you turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. And you turn it for good. Come on. You take what the enemy. Victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle.
All right. As we get ready to close down today, we're definitely going to pray together, leaving room for the Spirit, like middle school. Remember that. But we're not going to go footloose to the end. Now, that's a reference I can go with, I guess, that I can know when it comes to that. But today, as we get ready to close out Mother's Day, for real, I just want to encourage you. We talked a lot about what mothers mean today, and I really do want to say today more than ever in this season, I want to let you know, it's really simple, something that you can do today. It's the easiest thing more than ever. You know, there was a moment in time where carrier pigeon was the only way we could do things, right? And stone tablets, back when Fred and Wilma Flintstone, there you go, Barney Rubble's wife, what was her name? There we go, there's a wife, there's a mother, Betty, there we go. Yeah, we got those. But there's a moment in time, here's what you can do today, it's simpler than ever. You take this little smart device, you pull it out, and somewhere probably in your phone is a contact that says, Mom. Shoot Mom a text message today. She wants to hear from you. I'm telling you, she does. Maybe a phone call. Maybe it's just a voicemail. Whatever it takes today, don't let today go by without saying, I love you to your mother. I'm telling you, when you look back on your life and you look back on a time that you could have now more than ever, when folks are sitting at home, it's the perfect opportunity to do that. So before today passes by, even if you're listening to this on a Thursday afternoon, I promise you, your mom wants to hear from you. Would you reach out to her today and let her know that you love her? And if that's all that you can say is, I love you, I'm telling you, you'll not only make her day, but everyone she comes in contact with, you'll make theirs too. So as we get ready to pray today and we go about our week, I just want to say thank you once again to all the moms that are out there, and for everyone who is like a mom, for everyone who is there serving alongside families, because the thing is, it does take a village. And so for all of us to come together and rally around each other in family, I want you to know that your mom loves you. I want you to know that we love you. And we're going to pray, and then we're going to have an awesome week. So, Jesus, thank you again for this day. Thank you for all the moms that are here. Thank you for all the moms that are online, wherever they are in the world. Jesus, I think of so many times mothers who are missionaries that say goodbye to their families to go to a foreign land just to spread the gospel, Jesus. I think of mothers who are willing to give up children for adoption. I think of Moses' mother who floated him down the river, Jesus, because she knew what was best for him, and she trusted your word. Jesus, I think of all the mothers who are on the other side of that adoption, Jesus, that are willing to take in a child and love them as their own and trust, Jesus, that this is the child you've given them to steward. I think of each and every prodigal that is away from home right now, that is running so hard from the mother and father that they don't even realize how much that they are loved. So Jesus, I pray today, wherever they are, that they would come to their senses, Jesus, that they would see that there is someone who loves them, that is waiting on them, that wants to meet them where they are, that they weren't made to fill their stomach with pods from pigs, Jesus, but instead they were made to experience the love you died to give. So Jesus, as we go about this week, let us be a shining example of your love and your hope to everyone that we meet. We can't believe you let us do this. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome week. We're going to start a brand new series next week called Mastermind, because we're going to learn how to deal with those crazy thoughts in our head. Have an awesome week, and remember, the best is still yet to come.